Good morning. Thank you guys for that warm welcome. We're going to, as Pastor Tim said, we're going to be talking about technology this morning. And I want to start off by saying, I think everyone's like ready, like, he's going to tell me to throw away my iPhone and, you know, and we're going to shut off cable. No. I want you to know that I did not, in preparation for this message, I didn't cancel any subscriptions, I didn't cancel any cable, I didn't cancel Netflix, and I still have an iPhone, okay? So, you know, and one of the things as I was thinking about this is that technology is a way that God can create, that God manifests his creativity through man. And when it's properly harnessed, it's full of artistry, full of life, full of power, and full of beauty. And I was thinking about a couple of examples of this. Let's put that first picture up there. These are the Palm Islands in Dubai. They built an island in the ocean, not just a small island, but a massive island, and it is beautiful. It's 111 miles of shoreline that they added to the coast of Dubai there. And for starting at about $38 million, you can purchase a home on this island. So, up to hundreds of millions of dollars. It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible the way that God can manifest himself through the creativity of man. Another place that we've seen some major advancements is through technology and medicine. And I was thinking about our own Tom Jost. Tom, just a few weeks ago, Tom had a full knee replacement. And I was thinking back to myself that I saw my grandmother 20 years ago the day after she had a knee replacement. And back then, 20 years ago, for 3 weeks, you had to be bedridden because it had to begin healing. I went to visit Tom. I got there 1 hour after he woke up from the anesthesia, and he was walking. And it's really incredible. I mean, there's tons of ways that technology has helped us, but in medicine, it really is incredible, and there's strides being made every year. One of the other things, and I'm using one of these this morning, is just through personal communication devices. For those of you that don't know, prior to coming here, I was a part of the cellular telephone industry and building cell sites, and I still remember this was about 7 years ago when we were right on the cusp of being able to video chat from our phones, and it's so incredible. Even with us moving here, we've moved away from family, and it's just an amazing way that we can connect because about, I don't know, a couple times a week, the twins carry Nanny around because she calls while she's getting ready for work, and they're watching Nanny, and they're chatting with Nanny, and it's just an incredible way that we're able to connect with the world around us. And not just connect with the world around us, but we can see things brighter and more brilliant than in real life. I mean, how many of you guys have seen those 4K TVs at Costco, right? It's like, it's more beautiful than real life. It's amazing. But with evolutions in technology, it also changes the way that different generations have responded to it. I want to show you this little chart here. This was put together by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Tim Elmore, and he is an expert in training people for the emerging generations. But this is just a few simple phrases to kind of see the way that things have evolved. With the boomers generation, their attitude with technology was, I will master it. Or if you're like my dad, you won't. He still has one of those slide text phones, but he does text now. But I will master it. It's something that it's a challenge to overcome. For the Gen Xers, it was something new and something that we kind of grew up with, right? And so for us, it's all enjoy it. We're just along for the ride. Your millennials, your Gen Y, for them, it became entertainment. It will entertain me. And they to date have been the largest consumer of media entertainment of any generation before them. It is literally an attitude of consumption. I don't have any data for this, but I would dare say they've watched more YouTube videos than any other generation, maybe before or to come. And then with our Gen Z, there's a shift happening, and it's I will employ it. It's rather than it serves me, now it's going to become it will work for me. And I was thinking about with this next generation, it's not about a separation of human and technology. It's that, here's a really great quote I heard from read from a Generation Z young adult, and that was, "You cannot tell where my body ends and where technology begins. It is an extension of who I am." It's seamless, right? It's seamless. And for that reason, the number one problem that parents are running into, just in general as being parents today, is that they think it's more complicated because of technology than it ever has before. It's putting stresses, you know, that farmers in the 1800s never have. It's bringing complexity in a way that we've never seen before. And there we get to the problems with technology. But before we get to that, I want to pause for just a moment. We're going to get into some stuff over the next few minutes that is going to be a little bit painful. But what I want is I want all of us to give some permission to Jesus to, like a doctor, put his finger in some spots that might be a little tender, right? And you're going to say, ow. But don't resist it, because I'll tell you what, the great physician wants to heal us. He wants us to be whole, and he wants us to win. So can we just be a little vulnerable this morning? So the first thing that I see technology doing is that it's deteriorating families. I want to come back to this verse, Proverbs 22:6. "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." We are all here on earth, whether you have children or not, for the generations and the people that come behind us. And it is in the family unit where God intends for growth to happen, for personalities to be shaped, for character to be forged, and for faith to be discovered. And we are all responsible for instructing and training the next generation, right? We need to be abiding by this good wisdom and being proactive. But what technology has done is it sent a fracture to the core of this foundation. And it starts with mom and dad. Because what I've seen is that we have a problem of distraction. I was thinking about, prior to working here, I had a work phone, I had a cell phone, I had an email account, I had an air card for my computer so I could always access my emails, I had a desk phone, I had an instant messenger program on my computer, I also had the instant messenger program on my cell phone. I could literally work from anywhere, be accessed at any time, and I was always available. And there's a lot of us, you know, that live like this. We can work anywhere, so we're always working. But what it does is it begins to take a toll on our relationships, because we're always distracted, because there's always one more email. There's always that one person that we were waiting to hear back from. And it's like, where do you think all this anxiety that we have just as a nation is coming from? Here's just an interesting thought. The iPhone was invented in 2007. That was 10 years ago. And there are children that will turn 10 years old this year. So that means that there are children who have been competing for their parents' attention against a cell phone for their entire life. Let me get even more real. 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting on the couch at home next to Violet. I wasn't really sitting with her. I was sitting next to her because I was preoccupied. scrolling. And she goes, "Daddy, would you put your phone down and spend some time with us?" It's real. We are distracted. We are distracted. Let me show you this photo. First off, I hope none of you know this gentleman. I took it far, far away from here. But when we were moving up here, I stopped at my favorite restaurant, Chipotle, and we sat down. It was just my three girls and my mom and I, and we sat down. We were having dinner, and it was with three young daughters. It was very vibrant. And so I gave notice to this gentleman and this boy that came in right behind us. And they sat down at this table, and for their entire meal, this is what they did. And the only words that I heard spoken the entire meal was the gentleman asking the boy to refill his drink. That was it. Now, first I want to say, don't cast stones, because I've been this guy, right? Has anyone else been this man? Yeah. And it's really devastating. It's really devastating, but we just get into these habits. We get into these habits. We're just scrolling. He was a little bit older, so maybe his magazine was modern technology for him. But I'm sorry. Because we're always busy, we're always distracted, we're always scrolling, we're always more interested in something else. I want to read you this quote from Andy Crouch. He wrote this really great book talking about technology and the family. But he says this: children largely are no longer admiring their parents because they're not doing anything to admire. Let me just let that sit in for a minute. They're not doing anything to admire. My kids are seeing me being distracted continually. There is another side. It's not just distraction. It's also convenience. And I was thinking about this gentleman a little bit more. Maybe he had a really hard day at work. Maybe his boss yelled at him. Maybe he missed a sales goal. And maybe all he wanted was just a few minutes of solitude to eat his burrito. You know? We see technology being deployed to children at an alarming rate just for convenience. I mean, we've seen kids at restaurants on iPads. I've definitely put a DVD in the car, on the car ride, just to keep some whining kids quiet. We think we're solving a problem, but really we're creating one. We are robbing our kids of the opportunity to develop in character, to learn self-control, how to interact with others, how to resolve conflict, right? Stop fighting. Here's a phone. Pastor Tim gave us the freedom not to give them a phone, but to give them the fear of God. A couple weeks ago, if you guys were here, he talked about discipline, right? We can't parent with technology. Because in the end, we are in families to shape each other. And technology is inhibiting this formation process in kids as well as adults. Because if I just use this as a matter of convenience, I haven't parented and I haven't grown. Let me tell you, I didn't realize how selfish I was until I had a child, right? And by just passing the responsibility, I'm not growing. In addition, my kids aren't growing because they're not learning how to interact with one another. They're not learning how to resolve conflict. The second thing I see technology doing, and that is delaying maturity. There's a lot of statistics about screen time, speech development, and the way that technology negatively affects our kids, but I'm not going to get into any of those. What I really think is that there's three mistakenly imposed values that are put on us, and that is that everything needs to be fast, Everything needs to be easy and everything needs to be safe. We live in a world where everything is fast. Fast, 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 fast. You can see it everywhere in print. No one's advertising slow. Everything is easy and convenient. I love Amazon Prime. I see something I need or want, the next day it's at my doorstep. I love it. I love it. And safe. We are a safe society. Everything needs to be safe. And it's disguised in, it's all about the children, right? It's all about the children. And I was even thinking about myself. I pray for safety over my kids every night. We put them in booster seats till they're 8 years old. With Find My Phone, we can know where our teenagers are anywhere at any time. Bike helmets are required or you'll get a ticket. We have safe zones on college campuses. And what I feel like is that we've created this spongy playground surface to protect our kids physically and emotionally everywhere they go, right? I was thinking back to my dad, and when he had summer vacation, he had one rule. He had to be home by dinner. And he spent his days building forts, hiking, riding motorcycles, shooting things, and getting into healthy amounts of mischief, right? And I was thinking about, wow, today's different because you know what the youth of today have? They have fidget spinners. They have fidget spinners. And you know, this maybe is pretty cool to someone who doesn't have a gun, a motorcycle, and a fort, right? But fast, easy, safe. You know what fast says? Fast says slow is bad. Because I don't even have time for buffering, right? I don't have time for buffering. Easy says difficult is bad. You mean I have to take this broom and touch all the bristles to all the floor and everywhere in this house? Buy a Roomba. Safe says that danger is bad and risk is bad. If we can't predict the outcome, if we might lose our job when we do the right thing, if people might not like you, that's not safe. It's not good. Last week, Pastor Joel talked about teaching our kids to pray and listen and wait. Fast, easy, and safe are the complete opposite of the tools God intends to use for our spiritual formation. You know what he uses? He uses slow, he uses difficult, and he uses danger. And those are the tools that he will use to shape us into the men and women of God that he wants us and our children to become. In James 2, we're told to celebrate when we face trials so that in the end we can be mature and complete. I want to rephrase our scripture that we started with, and that would be to train up a child to understand slow, difficult, and danger so that when God uses those tools in the future, they will be responsive to his leading. Let me say that one more time. Train up a child to understand slow, difficult, and danger so that when God uses these tools in the future, they will be responsive to his leading. Train up a child in the way they should go. I'm going to, if I had a soapbox, I would get it out and I would stand on it right now because I want to pause here as we're talking about delaying maturity as it relates to video games. The average teenage boy in America spends 13 hours a week playing video games. Girls, 5. And my belief is that video games are a lead contributor to boys not becoming men and adult males not becoming men. It's not just our children, it's my generation of Gen Xers, and some of us are playing more video games than our kids. Have you guys ever heard the term gamer widow? That's basically a wife who has been abandoned by her husband because of video games, and they abandon their family, really, because they just are sucked into this thing, And you might think that my opinion about this has to do with blood, gore, profanity, nudity, sexuality, and violence. I don't really actually think that's the problem. This is the problem. I believe that men are designed to create and solve problems. Video games are creating nothing, solving fake problems in a fake reality. And what our world needs is real men solving real problems with real people. What our world needs are real men solving real problems with real people. I'm not saying go home and throw out your son's Xbox. What I am saying is you are now empowered to set some healthy boundaries in your family. End of soapbox. The third thing that we find is that it's destroying rest. God designed us to rest, to sleep. We need it. We need a lot of it. And really, the simple way of looking at this is it's destroyed. What's the last thing you touch and the first thing you look at every morning? Most of us, our phone. We may have just slept, but we're not resting. So, you know, you're just okay. You know, trying to go to sleep. We're being robbed of sleep, but worse, we're being robbed of rest. How many of you guys have bought into this lie right here? Next point. No, the median Netflix account is used 4 hours a day. You know what that tells me? 50% of all accounts are being used more than 4 hours a day. It is alarming. And it's not rest. And let me tell you, I've lost weeks worth of sleep binge watching some great shows, right? We've all done it. We've all done it. But it's just chipping away at the rest that God designed our bodies to need. Even more so with our children. Right now, they're estimating that about 80% of teenagers are going to sleep with their phone. They're not going to sleep right away. They're filled with anxiety because, you know, did Tommy like me? What did he say to you? And, you know, it's this conversation going back and forth. And let me tell you, it makes you live with a little bit of anxiety. And our adolescents need 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night. And this is literally stunting their growth, right? It's not just us, it's our kids. So we need a Sabbath. We need this sleep. We need this rest for rejuvenation, and because we will not thrive without it. I would like to have everybody go back to Pastor Tim's sermon on December 4th, and he talked about rest. We can leave this conversation there because he did a really good job developing that. But he made one point in there that I want to remind us of. And that is, we make bad choices when we're tired. We make bad choices when we're tired. Fatigue is the tool the enemy uses to make decisions that we would not otherwise. Has anyone ever thought back to the night before and said, it seemed like a good idea at the time? Right? When we get tired, we make bad choices. And this is just a continual chipping away at the rest that God wants us to have. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We must find our rest at the feet of the cross and not on a screen. We need to lead our children that way. We need to lead our children that way. So those are my three things. But let's look at some steps forward. Step one, actually it's not really step one, it's just item one. It starts with us. You will notice that I didn't recommend in here any appropriate amount of time that your children can be in front of a screen, because there isn't one. My challenge is that we all have to decide what is appropriate for us. A wise playground prophet said many times, and maybe is even being said somewhere right now, monkey see, monkey do, monkey poo all over you. I'm not recommending a number of hours and what's appropriate, because we need to decide for ourselves so that we don't become hypocrites telling our kid you can only watch it 30 minutes a day, and I spent 3 hours scrolling through Facebook, right? Don't let the monkey poo on you. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I appeal you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what God's will really is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Be free this morning that we don't have to be like the world around us. We don't. We don't need to be like them in the fun that we have, in the places we go, or the things that we watch, or the amount of time that we spend watching things. We do not have to be like them. And I will tell you that God will lead you if you let him. I want to go back to last week again. Pastor Joel admonished us to be with our children and pray and listen. Let me tell you, take this before the Lord today about what's appropriate for you and your family. Maybe even get your kids involved, which is part of the training. Train a child in the way they should go. We seek God about the things and appropriateness that he would have for our lives. And just see what God would do. And let me tell you, I think that your kids, that my kids, will be far more responsive if they're getting to engage in the process and being led through this process and partnering with what Jesus wants to do in your family than if we legislate something, right? The second thing we need to do, it starts with us. Second thing is protect and prepare. We go back to the child with the iPad. This is actually really more like this. Giving a child unfiltered, unrestricted access to their devices is like handing them a loaded weapon that they can simply destroy themselves and others. It's true. First, we need to protect. Roughly 30% of all internet activity is pornography. So, one, filters are a must. We got to have filters. Here's another interesting thing, though. 62% of teenagers report having received a pornographic picture that someone sent to them. That's not filtered material. So, filters are a must. Filters alone won't do it. We have to talk with our kids to prepare them about what is coming for them. A few weeks ago, Pastor Tim talked about lures, and Satan is a crafty devil, and he is out to get your kids. So we need to tell them what is coming for them and give them a plan for when it does, because it is coming, even if they didn't intend for it. Satan is coming for your kids. And you know what? We don't want them to fight these battles alone. So I am telling you, open a line of communication, as awkward as it might feel. As much as you can feel them squirming inside their skin because they don't want to talk about these things with mom and dad, do it anyway. Because you don't want them talking to someone else, or worse off, bottling it up and never telling anyone. You know, this is not just about pornography, but we all know there's cyber bullies, there's groups of people spreading hate, and even worse than that, there are predators out there who are seeking and selling children on social media and other websites in this city right now. It is happening here. My wife was part of a training about human trafficking. It is happening here in Santa Maria. Do not think that our children are not immune to its effect. We have to have these conversations. We have to have these conversations. And you know what I'm suggesting? 100% transparency. Your kids' devices and phones, not private. All passwords, all access, all of the time. All access, all passwords, all of the time. Look through their phones, search their history, know who they're talking to, know what they're talking about. I was thinking about this morning. I'm not going to let my kids leave the house without knowing where they're going. I wouldn't let them do it physically. I'm not going to let them do it virtually. I need to know where they're going. The third item is to take action. And so some of you, which is really awesome, are going to get home and you're going to get inspired. And you will shut off your cable. You will cancel your Netflix subscription. You will sell all the family iPads on eBay. You will even shut off your heaters and we'll build a fire because if it was good enough for cavemen, it's good enough for us. And you know what? And I poke fun, but if something rises up in you that you want to do something extreme or you feel the need for your family, do it. Do it. You're not going to be sorry. No one ever said, man, I'm really bummed I watched 4 less hours of Netflix today. No one ever said that. But for everyone, I've got 3 easy things that I just want us to nudge this morning. Just to nudge us this morning. The first is, screens need sleep. It's not entirely need sleep, but we need sleep. But think of it this way. Put your screens to sleep. Because that is the one day that we can slow down and really practice Sabbath, when we put our screens to sleep. Leave your work at work. Put your phone to bed before you go to bed. And let it wake up after you. Maybe even drink a cup of coffee before you look at it in the morning. We must allow ourselves and our kids to rest and rejuvenate. So, screens need to sleep. The second thing, car rides are for conversation. And slug bug. Right? And slug bug. Let me tell you, it's just me, there's no scriptural backup for this, but I think that siblings hitting each other in the back seat is far better than siblings in the back seat ignoring that the other one even exists. Right? Car rides are for conversation, slug bug, and singing. And singing. We do this thing, my wife just kind of, I don't know, fell into it, but we'll be driving around. Everyone picks a song. And because of technology, we can just play that song right in that moment. And everyone gets to pick their song. And it always ends up that everyone in the car, we're singing together. Like, what a novel idea. And I mean, who doesn't, you know, like a little, you know, don't stop believing. Yeah, because we'd all sing along, right? We must make a conscious effort to interact in the rare time that we're all together. We are all busy. We're spread apart. Those times where we are all in together in one space and can't get away from each other are limited. So let's utilize it. The third thing is that dinner is for discussion. Right now, in America, about 45% of the time, devices are in use at the dinner table. It's just a fact. So I'm not saying this one's the most important because all 3 of these are important, but if you're going to start anywhere, start here. You know, I remember when I was a kid, before there was screens, we would sit at dinner and we would talk and we would tell jokes and we would laugh and we would hear stories and it was a lot of fun, right? And I think we need to force ourselves to move back that direction. So I got an idea from Chick-fil-A. Not every Chick-fil-A does this, and for those of you that don't know, we're getting a Chick-fil-A here in Santa Maria, hopefully later this summer. And they don't all do this, but they run this promotion from time to time that if you come in there as a family, and you take this box, and you all put your cell phones in this box, and you go to your table, and you eat, and then you bring it back to them with the cell phones in the box, they will give everyone in the family an ice cream cone. And so today, I brought all of you guys a gift. And this is a cell phone box, because it's just a nudge, a healthy direction. And for those of you that would need help putting it together, there's one step. You ready? One. I am so serious. I am so serious. Leave here today, and even if you throw it away after lunch, take it to wherever you're eating lunch. Have everyone put their phone in it. Even if you're going to eat by yourself, stick your phone. Stick your phone in the box, especially if you're at a restaurant. People might think you're crazy, because how many people have we missed in our lives over the last decade because we were sitting there like this, not looking and engaging the world around us? How many people haven't been prayed for? How many people haven't been cared for because we're sitting there doing this? Put the phone in the box. So screens need sleep, car rides are for conversation, and dinner is for discussion. We've talked about a lot, but I will tell you, let's just do those three little things, and I guarantee that these three small things will create great change in the lives, in our own lives, in the lives of our children, and in the lives of the world around us. Because we need to get free to be able to engage people, right? Can we all do this nudge together? Yeah. Awesome.